Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, chapter entitled Divinity and Divine Service, text number 27. Rajastama Prakritaya Samashila Bhajanti Vai Pitributa Prajeshadin Shri Aishwarya Prajepsavaha Raja. The mode of passion. Tama. The mode of ignorance. Prakritaya. Of that mentality. Samashila. Of the same categories. Bhajanti. Do worship. Vai. Actually. Pituri. The forefathers. Bhuta. Other living beings. Prajesha Adin. Controllers of cosmic administration. Shriya. Enrichment. Aishwarya. Wealth and power. Praja. Progeny. Ipsavaha. So desiring. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance worship the forefathers, other living beings and the demigods who are in charge of cosmic activities. For they are urged by a desire to be materially benefited with women, wealth, power and progeny. Translation responsibly. Those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance.
Those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance.
Worship the forefathers.
Worship the forefathers.
Other living beings and the demigods.
Other living beings and the demigods.
Who are in charge of cosmic activities.
Who are in charge of cosmic activities.
For they are urged by a desire.
For they are urged by a desire.
To be materially benefited.
To be materially benefited.
With women, wealth, power, and progeny. Purport. There is no need to worship demigods of whatsoever category if one is serious about going back to Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.20 and 7.23, it is clearly said that those who are mad after material enjoyment approach the different demigods for temporary benefit, which are meant for men with a poor fund of knowledge. We should never desire to increase the depth of material enjoyment. Material enjoyment should be accepted only up to the point of the bare necessities of life, and not more or less than that. To accept more material enjoyment means to bind oneself more and more to the miseries of material existence. More wealth, more women, and false aristocracy are some of the demands of the materially disposed man, because he has no information of the benefit derived from Vishnu worship. By Vishnu worship, one can derive benefit in this life as well as in life after death. Forgetting these principles, foolish people who are after more wealth, more wives, and more children worship various demigods. The aim of life is to end the miseries of life and not to increase them. For material enjoyment, there is no need to approach the demigods. The demigods are but servants of the Lord. As such, they are duty-bound to supply necessities of life in the form of water, light, air, etc. One should work hard and worship the Supreme Lord by the fruits of one's hard labour for existence, and that should be the motto of life. One should be careful to execute occupational service with faith in God in the proper way, and that will lead one gradually to the progressive march back to Godhead. Lord Sri Krishna, when he was personally present in Brajadham, stopped the worship of the demigod Indra and advised the residents of Braj to worship by their business and to have faith, to worship by their business and to have faith in God. Worshipping the multi-demigods for material gain is practically a perversity of religion. This sort of religious activity has been condemned in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam as Kaitava Dharma. There is only one religion in the world to be followed by one and all, and that is the Bhagavat Dharma, or the religion which teaches one to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no one else. Omigyan timadandasya ginanjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swa padantikam vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu ievacha petitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out in this purport, and the Bhagavatam is pointing out, that everyone in the material world is under the control of the three modes of material nature. This is goodness, passion, and ignorance. So Krishna says in the Gita, these are gunas. What is that verse that Krishna is saying? Daivihyesha, gunamayi, mamamaya, dirachaya. So Daivihesha Guna. Guna means three gunas, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. And Prabhupada explains the guna means rope. Rope means that which is binding us. It means everyone in the material world is under the control of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And they are all acting simultaneously. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, they are competing for supremacy. So even right now, you can say before the sun rises, then Sattva Guna is prominent. That's why we rise before the sunrise. We get up early in the morning, because Sattva Guna is prominent. Rajas and Tamas are less prominent. But by this time of the day, Rajas is entering and Tamas is always there. So devotees are feeling a competition between the three modes. Because it's still early in the morning, mode of goodness is there, and we should be able to sit peacefully and listen to the Bhagavatam class. But already the mode of passion is there, and we're already thinking, what do I have to do today? So many things are crossing our mind. I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I hope he doesn't speak too long, because then I have to have breakfast. And then after breakfast, I have to get straight out and start doing this and this and this, like that. So the mode of passion is already there, competing with the mode of goodness, and mode of ignorance is always there, because some devotees are trying not to fall asleep in the class. They think, oh, I've heard all of this before, and you know, when this ritual is finished, then I can get to the real business of life, which is my breakfast. So there is competition between the three modes continuously. So basically, Krishna says in the Gita, these are guna. Guna means ropes which bind us. So everyone in the world is bound by these ropes. very hard to get over these ropes. Krishna says, Daivi Hyesha, Gunamai, Daivi. Daivi means divine. It's very hard to go to overcome something which is divine. Just like we have three kleshas, three types of suffering. Adi Atmika, klesh. Adi Bhautika, klesh. And Adi Daivik, klesh. Three types of kleshas. One is Bhuta. Bhuta means other living entities. We'll give you klesh. Klesh means misery or suffering. So you'll get misery from others, other living entities. Bhutas. Bhuta means other living entities. So very hard to avoid that unless you go and live in the forest. And then you can try to avoid it. But then the mosquitoes will come and get you. Or the snakes will come and get you. Or tigers will come and get you. Or something will come. So there's always Bhutas who will give you problems. And then there is Atmika, klesh, which means klesh from your own mind and your own body. So your body will give you klesh. Just like now I'm 42 and my body is beginning, they have that saying in English, over the hill. Like that. Life kind of goes like that. It goes up, you get to the peak. The peak's about 24. When you're 24, then you're full strength. So you get there, and then it goes over the hill. And from there on, it's just all downhill, like that. So I've gone over the hill. So now I'm like kind of on the top looking down, and then you think, oh my God, what did I get myself into now? And now from here, it's just all down, like that. My knees are starting to hurt, and now it's finished now. The material body's finished. It just degenerates from here on in. So this is adi atmik klesh, suffering which comes from your body and from your mind. You could probably say 50% of your suffering in this world is your own mind. You don't even have to leave your room in the morning and you're suffering. You don't even have to get out of bed and you're suffering. You don't even have to talk to anyone and you're suffering. Right? Your mind gives you such a hard time. It just talks all day long, non-stop. And the problem is that we identify with it. We think we are this mind. We think this is us. But it's not us. Who are you actually? You're Krishna's eternal servant. Jivara, Sarupa Hoy, Krishnara Nichadas. You are Krishna's servant. But you're thinking, I am this mind. This is me. So you listen to it and you identify with it. And then you suffer because of it. You don't even have to see anyone or speak to anyone or do anything or go outside or anything. And already you're suffering because your mind gives you a hard time. Because you identify with it. Right? So, Adi Atmika Klesh, Adi Bhautika Klesh, and Adi Daivika. Daivi means divine. That means powers which are beyond us. Daivi. This means devatas. Everything which is under the influence or the control of the devatas or the demigods. Just like earlier this year, we saw the tsunami hit Japan. Live footage. We were watching it live around the world happen. It wasn't like, that's the way the world is these days. America attacks Iraq. You go in with the tanks. Right, they have cameras on the tanks and you're actually there where the war is going. And people are getting blown up and killed. And it's all live these days. This is our wonderful advancement of civilization. We can actually see everyone being killed now, live. Right? You have to wait to see the post footage anymore on the news at 6:30 at night. You can just get on the internet and you can just watch it all happen. So the tsunami, you could see it happening live. You can see the 15 meter wave coming in live. And I remember there was one man, the image of one man, the helicopter was watching, he was running. And how can you outrun a 15 foot wave? Imagine the terror. Three times higher than this roof. One, two, three. A wave coming like that and he's trying to run to escape. This is called Daivi. Adi? How do you say it? Adi Daivika place. Daivi means divine. This is coming from devatas. This is coming from beings who are beyond our control and who are far more powerful than us. And when they choose to make us suffer, you cannot do anything about it. When the demigods choose to make you suffer, you can't do anything about it. If the demigod says, if Varuna says okay, the ocean will rise. that's it. Tsunami comes, you can't do anything about it. You know? And if Agni says, okay, just like 2 years ago in Victoria, Black Saturday, okay, I will burn everything, then you can't do anything about that. Right? And if the wind god, Vayu, if he says, okay, now I'm going to blow everything down, then that's it. That's the end of the story. Right? So that's Devi. That is, and it's interesting, they actually got footage in the ocean off the coast of Miami. That's where, in Florida, they have a lot of these cyclones. Remember they had Katrina came a few years ago, big cyclone. And they come all the time. Every year they come off the ocean. They form just above the Caribbean near Miami, and then they go in over Florida and all those states in America. It's very common. So they get footage of them actually forming on the ocean. And because it's on the ocean, you can actually see on the patterns on the water how these cyclones and tornadoes form. And there's one big one, and then there's four small ones. One, two, three, four. Perfectly, symmetrically in the four directions. Happens every time. Like that. It's like, how does that happen? You can see it, their personalities. Right, there's one big one and then his four assistants. It says that there are 3,300 million demigods. 33 million principal demigods, and each demigod has 100 assistants. So you can see when these cyclones form, you can see there's like four assistants right next to him. Right? Perfectly symmetrically formed every time. And they form in the, and then they just, you know, work out, like, where we're going to go and destroy today. Right? And then they just all head in and just blow everything apart. Right? So these are Devi. Devi means the Devatas. So that kind of force you cannot counteract. So even more powerful than the demigods is Krishna. Krishna says, Devi Hesha Gunamayi. I am more powerful than all of them put together. Because Devi, my divine energy, Gunamayi, is made of three modes of material nature. And how do I make everyone, how do I control everyone in the material world? By the three modes of nature. This is my energy. Krishna's energy. You can't sit like that next to the pillar. You have to sit properly in the temple. You, the energy of God, Devi Hesha, this is Krishna's energy. Now everything is personified. In the Vedic culture, everything is personified. So what is the personification of Krishna's material energy? Her name is Durga. And she rides upon a
lion
or a tiger. Yeah, you see her always riding on a lion or a tiger. So if someone rides up to the temple, just like when sometimes people get married in India, they ride on a horse, right? So they ride in on the horse. These days in India, they ride on these little kind of donkey things. You know, here comes the prince, you know, rides on his donkey. You know, comes up with his plastic turban on, you know, rides on one. Like that. I mean, why would you do it? I don't know why they do it. At least ride a horse. If you can't get a horse, then maybe just walk. It probably looks a little bit more. Yeah, your husband comes up to you on a little donkey, like, you know. And you're supposed to be impressed. And the wife's like, ooh. So, someone rides on a horse, quite impressive, if it's a proper horse. And if someone rides on a lion or a tiger, then everyone will be very impressed. If someone comes to the temple on the back of a tiger or a lion, then everyone will become very attentive to who is this person. They haven't come around here before. So she comes in on a tiger or a lion, right? Now why does she ride a tiger or a lion? This represents victory. Because she subjugates everyone in the material world, right? There's no match like that. Sometimes, you know, we think we're very powerful. This is called Ishwara Bhav, like that. We think we're very powerful in this mirror. Purusha Bhav, we think we're very powerful. But, you know, what is our potency? Just like you see the most powerful men on earth, like you have the heavyweight boxers like that, like Muhammad Ali and all these men, you know, they're big men. You know, what Muhammad Ali used to say? I am the greatest. I am the greatest. Like that, you know, he used to do all his speeches and that. And now he has Parkinson's disease, so now he goes like that. That's what he's like now. completely subjugated by the material energy, by Durga. Completely subjugated. Thinks he's so powerful, but when the lion comes, right, and she says, okay, sit down, then that is it. You are subjugated. There is no competition. So this is Krishna's energy, Devi Hesha, divine energy, controls everyone in the material world. You cannot compete. You cannot overcome that energy. How does she control us? How does Durga control us? What weapon does she carry? She carries a trident. It's a three-pronged spear. It has three prongs on it. So she controls everyone. So you see she rides on the tiger, right? And then she controls everyone with the trident. And what does the trident represent? Right? Three modes of material nature. Right? Goodness, passion, and ignorance. I control all of you with my trident. Like that. Goodness, passion, ignorance. You're all under my control. This is Krishna's energy. Daivi Hesha. Right? Past, present, and future. Right? With her trident, she, all of us, past, present, and future, she has all of us under control. And Adi Baltic, Adi Devik, Adi Atmi Klesh. There's all of us under control. This is her potency. So there's no competition. We are simply controlled. So Krishna says, Devi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Dharachaya. Mama Maya. My Maya. This is my illusion. Right? Durachaya. Durachaya means very difficult to overcome. Krishna says very difficult to overcome because it's Krishna's energy. How do you overcome God's energy? How do you overcome God's illusion? How do you overcome the three modes of material nature, which are God's potency? Very difficult. Then Krishna says, Mam eviye prapajyanti. But, Krishna says, if you surrender to me, mayam etam. Tarantite, you can easily cross beyond this. But you have to take shelter of me. What does it mean to take shelter of Krishna? Krishna says, Manmana, Baba Mad Bhakto, Madhyaji, Mam Namaskaru. Krishna says, do four things. Manmana, always think of me. Manmana, Baba Mad Bhakto, become my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer your obeisances to me. So Krishna says these four things, and then from those four expands the nine items of devotional service: shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasham, sakyam, atmanivedanam. So those nine are coming from those four. Right? So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, do that, and then in Bhagavatam he says, okay, I expanded that further. And then Rupa Goswami comes, and Rupa Goswami says, okay, take those nine and we'll turn them into 64. Right? And that's the 64 items of devotional service. So how do we overcome the material energy? We take shelter of the 64 items of bhakti, of devotional service. So Arjuna says to Krishna, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. And in between the 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita, there is extra conversation taking place. Krishna and Arjuna are saying extra things. We get 700 verses in the Gita, but actually there's more conversation in between. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, by his divine potency, he writes down those extra things which are discussed. So Krishna says, Mamana Bhava Mark Bhakto. He says, okay, four things I want you to do, Arjuna. So Arjuna says, okay, can you make it even more simple? So Krishna says, okay, I'll make it even more simple. Right? And then he says one thing. Sarvadaman parijaja. Mam ekam sharanam braja. Eka. Eka means one thing. Right? Mam ekam sharanam braja. Just surrender to me, Arjuna. Just become my devotee. Just give everything to me. Right? So if we just do that, then Krishna says, Mam eva ye prabhajante. If you just surrender to me, mayam etam tarant, easily you will cross beyond the material energy. Otherwise, it's very difficult. Just like sometimes it's very difficult to get into, say, a rock concert. Right? You go to the rock concert, or you go to the sports event, or you go somewhere. Right? Very difficult to get in. All the tickets are sold out. But then, just say you go to the AFL Grand Final, right, which will be on in a few weeks. Right? So then the big teams are playing, right? Collingwood versus Geelong, or whoever is playing. Right? So all the tickets are sold. You can't get in. So you're standing out the front, right? And then Eddie McGuire walks by. Right? He is the president of the Collingwood football team. And you say, Eddie, remember me? Back in the old days, we used to play footy together when we were kids. He goes, ah, you, I haven't seen you for so many years. How have you been? Like that. And you say, good. You say, Eddie, I don't have a ticket. I can't get in. He says, no problem. You just stay with me and you'll get in, no problem. So then you just walk behind Eddie. Right? Eddie gets to the gate. He says, he's with me. That's it. You're in. Right? Very difficult to get out of the material world. Very difficult to get into the spiritual world. But if you're with the right person, very easy to get in. So Krishna says, just stick with me. Sava Dhamman Parijaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Just surrender to me. Give up all of your other shelters in the material world. All the other people that you're attached to. Right? Everyone else you have faith in the material world. Right? All the material persons in the material world who you think can protect you and give you shelter, give them all up and just surrender to me. Krishna says, Sava Dhamman, give up everything. Parijaja. Mam Ekam Sharanam, just surrender to me. If you surrender to me, very easily, at the time of death, if you are thinking of me, if you are chanting my name, right? At the time of death, I will take you beyond this material energy, which is otherwise very difficult to overcome. So this is how we overcome the material world, or the material energy. Now, Krishna's, or the Bhagavatam is saying in this verse, that everyone in the material world is under the jurisdiction of these material modes. Passion and ignorance, particularly. These are the ones which we are particularly in. Now, in order to make steady progress in devotional service, you have to situate yourself in sattva-gun. Srila Prabhupada explains that sattva-gun, or the mode of goodness, practicing devotional service in the mode of goodness, is a springboard to pure goodness, or vishuddha sattva. So you have to cultivate qualities in the mode of goodness. Right? That's why in the last portion of the Bhagavad Gita, the last portion of the Bhagavad Gita is jnana yoga, then Krishna, between chapters 13 and 17, basically he speaks about the three modes of material nature. He gives a very deep analysis. I studied this a number of years ago, very intricately, or I tried to study this as deeply as I could under Burujan Prabhu's guidance. I was using his lectures and his tapes and his commentaries on the Bhakti Shastri on the Bhagavad Gita, and I studied this section very thoroughly to get a very deep understanding of why does Krishna spend so much time in the final five chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, and even the 18th chapter, you say the final six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, why does he spend so much time analysing the three modes of material nature, which is basically what he does, right? Chapter 14 is called? What is chapter 14 called? The three modes of material nature. The whole chapter is called the three modes of material nature. Right? Chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 16 is divine and demoniac natures. Chapter 17 is divisions of faith. Basically, Krishna's whole analysis is of the three modes of material nature. So we may ask, why does Krishna spend so much time analysing the three modes? He says, mode of ignorance is like this. Right? If you want to get into the mode of ignorance, do this. Eat this food. Right? Give this kind of charity. Right? Associate with these kind of people. You'll go into the mode of ignorance. If you want to be in the mode of passion, right, eat this kind of food, right, associate with these kind of people, right, do these kind of activities, you'll go into the mode of passion. Right? And if you want to be in the mode of goodness, then Krishna gives you a guideline. Now, why does he analyze everything so carefully? Because the mode of goodness is conducive for practicing bhakti. And the Acharyas comment in their commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, they say that when you analyze the two modes, Shuddha Sattva and Vishuddha Sattva and Sattva Gun, or the material mode of nature and this spiritual mode of pure goodness, the Acharyas say they're very similar in their composition, or their in their composition, or I'm thinking it's another word I'm trying to think of. They're very similar. If you look at the two, they're very similar in nature, right? The mode of goodness and the mode of pure goodness. So, what's an example of someone in the mode of pure goodness? Right, Srila Prabhupada. Right? Prabhupada was in Vishuddha Sattva. Right? He was situated in the divine energy of the Lord. Right? What is that verse in Bhagavad Gita? Mahatmanas tu mam parta daivim prakritim ashritaha. Daivim prakriti. The daivi prakriti, or the spiritual energy, which is made of pure goodness. Ashritaha. These great souls, they are fully absorbed in that energy. So Prabhupada was fully absorbed in that energy. Vishuddha Sattva. And how do we know he was fully in that energy? Because he went to bed at 10:30 every night and he got up at 12:30 every morning. Right? Who else does that? Right? Do you know anyone else who could do that every day? You know, resting the body for a total of 3 to 4 hours a day. Right? It's not possible. Who can do that? Who can go to bed at 10:30, get up at 12:30 without an alarm clock? Right, and then dictate his purports for 6 hours, right, and then run a worldwide movement, right, get classes all over the world, travel around the world 14 times in 12 years. Like no one can do it. It's not physically possible. It's not mentally possible. No one could do it. So therefore, he was obviously in the Daivi Prakriti. Right? He was fully situated in the mode of pure goodness. And then we see that people, and then one time a reporter said to Prabhupada, "How will I recognize one of your disciples? How will I recognize one of your followers?" And Prabhupada said, "They stay awake in Bhagavatam class." He said, "That's how you'll recognize one of my followers." No, he didn't say that. Prabhupada said, "It's just a commercial break for those who are falling asleep. Please stay awake. If you're tired, go and take rest. It's okay." One time Prabhupada was giving class in Mumbai, in Bombay, and one of the devotees kept going. And then finally he went, and he hit the marble. His head hit the marble. And Prabhupada was giving class, and Prabhupada looked at him and said, "Go and take rest." He said, "Go and take rest. This is not proper. You know, if you're so tired, then just go and take rest. It's okay. That's no problem. But if you're here, please stay awake, because it's not good to fall asleep in front of the deities and in front of Prabhupada. It's not proper like that." So one time, one of the reporters said to Prabhupada, they said, "How will we recognize one of your followers?" And Prabhupada said, "They are perfect ladies and gentlemen." Right? That is how we recognize Prabhupada's followers. They're perfect ladies and gentlemen. Now, what does that mean, someone who's a gentleman or a perfect lady? That means they are in the mode of goodness. Right? So the mode of goodness and the mode of pure goodness are very similar. And you have to cultivate your Krishna consciousness from the platform of the mode of goodness. Right? That means you have to develop the divine qualities. Krishna speaks of these things in the Bhagavad Gita. Right? Cleanliness. Self-control. Right? If you take the 18th chapter, right, Krishna says qualities of the Brahma, Samo, Damas, Tapa, Salcham. We have to cultivate these kind of qualities. These are conducive for our bhakti. Sama. Sama means you have to become equipoised. Right? Not disturbed all the time. Sama. Damas. Damas means self-controlled. Right? One raskula is enough. Krishna says, right, Dhamma. Dhamma means control. Right? There has to be control. If you want to make advancement in spiritual life, there has to be control. Right? I remember the days when I was young and I used to eat 36 gulabs after the feast. Right? So that's not self-control. Of course Prabhupada did say that on a feast you can eat up to the neck. But in ISKCON, Prabhupada set up that we have a Sunday feast, which more or less he said, control your senses. Once a week you can let your seeker down and you can eat as much as you want. like that. Because we practice so much self-control. Like, you know, we can practice a lot of self-control as devotees. So once a week you can just eat as much as you want, no problem. Like that. And fully satisfy your senses. But the rest of the week, but somehow in ISKCON these days, especially in Melbourne, the Sunday feast is on every day of the week now. Right? We have the Monday feast, which starts in about 15 minutes. And then we have the Tuesday feast, and then we have the Wednesday feast, and then Thursday we have three, and then on Friday, and then Saturday, and then on Sunday we don't have any room left for the Sunday feast because we've already feasted like that. So there has to be some self-control. Right? Because otherwise it's very hard to make advancement in spiritual life. Prabhupada said the first 6 months you can eat so much that you waddle like a duck. First 6 months, you're a devotee. Prabhupada said, eat so much prasadam, you can model like a duck. Prabhupada's system in 1966 in 22nd Avenue was he had a jar of gulab jamuns, which Prabhupada made with his own hand, next to the front door of 22nd Avenue. So then Prabhupada said that if you ever feel your senses are disturbed, then go and take some gulab jamuns. And some devotees actually said the gulab jamuns stopped them from blooping. Because they were in the 22nd Avenue, they were new devotees, they weren't very strong, and sometimes they thought, let me go back out to the material world. So they walked out the front door, and as they went past, they saw the gulabs. So they put their hand in, had a few gulabs, and thought, I'll stay. Right? And then they went back in, took rest, and then they stayed. Like that. So, eventually we have to learn self-control. Prabhupada said in the beginning, then you can, you know, use yours, you can satisfy your senses, but long term in Krishna consciousness you have to practice self-control. Right? It's conducive for your spiritual advancement. Right? Samoa damas tapa. Tapa means austerity. Devotees, we like to perform austerity for Krishna. Just like Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, sometimes you have to take a cold bath in the cold weather, in winter. Devotees don't mind. You know, just like the temple president of Mawalamba, Ajita Prabhu, he gets up at 3:30 every morning of the year, right, except maybe if he's on a catering job or something, and he has a cold bath every morning of the year. And I said to him, well, that's easy because you're living in Mawalamba, it's always hot there. And he said, no, he said, it doesn't matter where I go. Right? Even when he comes down here, he came down here last year in wintertime, still he has a cold bath every morning. And you can see he's so austere, so self-controlled, so much discipline. And you can see he's doing so much service because of his potency like that. Sama, damas, tapa, solcham. Solcham means clean. Devotees have to learn what it means to be clean. Prabhupada says when you worship the deities, two things are important: punctuality and cleanliness. Right? So these are brahminical qualities. These are qualities in the mode of goodness. And they will help you advance in Krishna consciousness. Whereas if you cultivate qualities in the mode of passion or the mode of ignorance, right, then your Krishna consciousness will be very, it'll be difficult to advance. And actually, because the Bhagavatam is an expansion of the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there are three modes of nature. But then in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapiladev, he analyzes devotional service in the three modes of material nature. So he takes it even further. He makes an even deeper analysis of performing devotional service, because sometimes we think, well, I'm performing devotional service, I'm transcendental. Devotional service is transcendental, I'm performing devotional service, I'm transcendental. But Kapiladev says there is devotional service in ignorance, in passion, and in goodness, and then there's devotional service in pure goodness, and they're not all the same. Mode of ignorance, what is the principal symptom of someone who is performing devotional service in the mode of ignorance? Right? They always get angry with others. Right? And you see, some devotees, they get angry with other devotees too much. And what happens? They commit offences. Right? And then your devotional service is hampered. Or it is a blockage to your advancement in devotional service. Because you can't control your anger. If you're getting angry with devotees too much, right, then that is a symptom of the mode of ignorance. And that will impede your devotional progress. Then, in the mode of passion, Kapiladev says, he actually makes the same point in passion as well. He said devotees in the mode of passion, they get too angry as well. He mentions it a second time. But then he says, in the mode of passion, the devotees become very fruitive. I want to be the biggest book distributor. Right? I want to be the number one kirtan leader. I want to be the best pujari. I am the best cook. Like that. So that's all motive passion. Because then we want prominence, or we want recognition. Na danam, na janam, na sundarim. Mahaprabhu says, I don't want these things. But when we're a devotee, but we're too much that influence or the motive passion, we want recognition constantly for our devotional service. We want to be recognized. Oh, did you see that I did that service? Or did you see that I gave such a nice class this morning? Or did you see that I cooked such a nice offering for the deities? Did you see how I dressed the deities? I dressed them so beautifully. Did Jinjaripa dress Radha Vallabha this morning? Akima, wow. Amazing. I thought a Jinjaripa Manaji had done it. Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. Bhakti Mahaprabhu is empowered. You know? So it's beautiful dressing of the deities, like that. But if we think, okay, I did that, right? And we are looking for recognition from everyone for what we did, then that is Rajagun. Whereas the nature of a devotee, actually a devotee wants to be obscure. That's the nature of an actual devotee. It is mentioned by Prabodhananda Saraswati in Vrindava Mahimamrita. He says that pure devotees, they want to be obscure, which means they don't want recognition. They'll actually remove themselves from the limelight or from public recognition. They'll want to be back. They'll hold themselves back, even though they're obviously so competent and so empowered and so potent in their services, but they don't look for recognition in that. Right? So this gives us an idea. If we study the Bhagavatam, if we study the Bhagavad Gita, we understand that even devotional service can be categorized in the modes of material nature. What is devotional service in the mode of goodness? Devotional service in the mode of goodness is characterized by steadiness. Right? One becomes very steady, very fixed. Because life has ups and downs. All of us go through ups and downs. Have you had any ups and downs this year? Any ups and downs today? Like, it happens, like, constantly, we're going through. But the devotees in the mode of goodness, the fixed-up devotees, they are steady. At one time, Balaram Prabhu, who was the previous temple president before Aniruddha Prabhu in this temple, he asked Srila Prabhupada here in Melbourne, he said, what is the qualification for someone to be recommended for Brahman initiation? And Srila Prabhupada said, he must be steady. Brahmana means mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means steady and fixed, right? Always doing the devotional service. Just like if you go to Mayapur or you go to Vrindavan, sometimes you meet pujaris who've been worshipping the same deities for 70 years. Right? Same deities for 70 years. Right? That is bhakti. Right? That is bhakti in the mode of goodness. Right? Steady and fixed. And that kind of bhakti leads to pure goodness. They're not even in the mode of goodness anymore. They've now transcended to pure goodness. If you worship the same deity your whole life, right, every day for 70 years, 60 years, 40 years, this is pure bhakti. You will go back to Godhead. Right? One day your body will just drop and you'll just keep serving Krishna. Same. Prabhupada said that when we, or it says in our Shastra, that when we leave our body, then we, if we're qualified, if we've got to a high enough position in devotional service, we go to the universe where Krishna is at the moment. Krishna is somewhere in the material world in a particular universe performing his pastimes. He was in this universe 5,000 years ago, and now he's gone to another one and another one and another one. So wherever he is now, you take birth in that universe and you get trained up by the associates of Krishna how to serve Krishna. But Jnanivas Prabhu told me a few years ago, Jnanivas Prabhu said that Srila Prabhupada said that the pujaris, they don't even have to go to the universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes. They go straight to Goloka. They don't even need training, because that is their training. You look at Jnanivas Prabhu and Pankajangri Prabhu. There's steadiness in devotional service, right? It's in Vishuddha Sattva, it is pure goodness. Completely absorbed, right? So they just go straight to Goloka, because they're already in Goloka. Prabhupada said that the services you do for the deity are the same services you'll do in the spiritual world. Cooking, making garlands, offering aarti, all of these services is the same thing. So if you do all this kind of bhakti and you become steady and fixed, then you will automatically enter into the spiritual world at the time of death. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we have discussed. What's that? Those who are in the modes of passionate ignorance worship the forefathers, other living entities and demigods who are in charge of cosmic, demigods. Cosmic activities means Indra is control of rain. That's a cosmic universal activity. It's a demigod in control of rain. So that's what it means.
And the last word, progeny.
Progeny. Progeny means getting children. Sometimes you worship demigods so you can have nice kids. Doesn't always work, but at least you can pray. So, any other questions or comments? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.